This is KE2GDQ, listening for any calls.
KE2GDQ, this is K2PCB. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, K2PCB. How are you feeling today?
Well, I'm on the move, so I'm good enough, but just generally speaking, I feel like crap. My head cold is still with me, but it's not like I'm a drippy mess. I just sound awful and I feel very congested. I don't know if I've gotten through it without it being too severe, or maybe I haven't gotten to the point yet where everything starts to flush out and drain. And but I am taking NyQuil at night and DayQuil during the day, and it seems to be holding it back a little bit. I'm with being on PTO yesterday. Once I got home, I pretty much slept the afternoon away, and maybe that helped out a lot.
Yeah, I think sleep is one of the best things for a cold. Just gives the body a chance to do what it needs to do. That's my experience. So, hopefully you're on the mend.
Yeah, thankfully we have nothing major going on this weekend. So, as long as I get to the weekend, I can rest some more. But now we've only got 3 days, three work shifts in there. That's not too bad. I can make that through, or make it through that. And, not that it really affects anything, but my boss is off Friday and all next week. It makes it feel easier, I guess. Yeah. Oh, I heard from Joelle Sleds. Do you remember her?
Can you repeat that name again? I missed it.
Joelle Sleds. She used to be I guess she was probably like an engineering admin.
No, my name's not ringing a bell. It probably won't hear in a few minutes, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, she left PCB a handful of years ago, and she's bounced around. I think she worked for the DOT. She worked for the Village of Albin. She is moving on again, and it sounds like on Monday she's supposed to be starting over at Sparks over there in Dubuque, the contract manufacturer for test systems and cables. And I bring it up because that's where Dave Delansky now works and Ryan Hackett works.
Oh, wow. Dave Delansky, yeah, I kind of lost touch with him. I wasn't friends with him or anything. You know, we would talk, meat smoking from time to time because we both do that. Ryan Hackett, that name doesn't ring a bell. I would know him by Ryan and the face, but maybe not the last name, because everyone had their name on their jackets. Sometimes that's how you only knew people. You knew them by that, but you never knew their last name. Joelle, that name definitely rings a bell. I just can't put a face with it right now.
Yeah, that's okay. Ryan used to work in microelectronics, and then he went out to production. I forget exactly what group he was in, whether he was in DC MEMS. I don't think he was in IMI. Anyway, he ended up leaving to go work as a welder. He went to welding school. He was working at Derek for a little while and decided that the electronics assembly was more his cup of tea and went back to that. But he's also Lynn's nephew. And we're not close. We see him at gatherings, family gatherings, that's about it. But just a small world. So any new and exciting over in your side of town?
Nothing new and exciting. Jeff and I talked a little bit last night about Meshtastic, yesterday I was watching some YouTube videos about Meshtastic, and then the algorithm kicked in, and then I got MeshCore. And, you know, there was a couple of videos on the advantages and disadvantages of both. And it just, the more you go down these holes, sometimes the more confusing. But like Jeff said, in this area, it's definitely mesh-tastic. So if I was to go MeshCore, I would be like an island.
Yeah, I keep asking Jeff, because obviously he's really into it. And then I keep asking him, you know, what he's doing with it. Basically to grab the value of it, contribution to his life. And I like the technology. I'm waiting to hear the thing that clicks with me to say, oh, I need to get into this. This is really cool. But it is really cool. I'm just afraid that I would buy it, put it on the shelf 1 week later. It's a little like DMR and the DMR radio that I bought. I was really curious about it and bought a DMR radio, built a couple nodes, and now they sit there idle. It's a really cool mode, but it's kind of unnecessary in a way. And then you have the digital sounding audio, which adds another level of, I don't know, impedance to the enjoyment of the mode. It's like a digital version of All-Star, if you will. But there's talk groups instead of, you know, notes. So, but anyway, it's cool. I was playing around with it the other day, but definitely not as much as I was when I first got into it. And it is really foggy out this morning. This is KTBCV.
Yeah, I like the idea of MeshTastic or MeshCore, either one, on the premise that it allows you to send encrypted messages to a select group. It doesn't rely on the internet. It doesn't rely on phone lines. It's just radio waves. And I kind of like that idea. You know, especially if it's encrypted, no one's reading your messages. Especially if, you know, the proverbial stuff hits the fan. One way to communicate with a select group, especially in the area. That's one thing that's intriguing about it, but it's the setting up of the network and the nodes. You know, how close am I, now that I realize that I'm closer than I thought to one, so that may, I don't know. I've got time. I need stuff to do, so it's kind of fun. So, you know, I'm giving it some more thought. This is KE2GDQ.
Yeah, and I think I've asked Jeff about this.
And it might be something
a little
interesting for you. MeshCore now has
one of my concerns was is that if you send a message,
voice messages
encrypted or not encrypted, transmission will die, whether or not it reaches
and send it over the MeshCore network.
That sounds even weird to say. But the destination, if it goes out to a, it goes out on its path, but after a certain set number of retransmissions, which is preset, if it doesn't get where it was supposed to be going, it stops. And like if I wanted to send you a message, but you were at work, or you were off shooting trap and you came back, I don't think you would get that, or maybe you were out of range of the mesh network and then you came back into range. I think that's what I'd like to see, some way to get around that, but I think they'd have to change the infrastructure to support that. Yeah, I don't know how that would happen. I think if that was there, I'd probably be all in. Again, KGBCV.
So my understanding of MeshTastic is if you're out of range of a node, that when you get close to the then your phone or however, whatever device you've got, then starts to ping and you get the messages. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe Jeff's in there and he could correct me.
CC2NVM, good morning. As far as I know, you send a message, it goes out, and then it dies. Whatever heard it would rebroadcast it up to however many times the allotted hop is chosen. Typical is 3, most is 7. Out in the rural area, 7 is okay, but if you're in the city and there's a whole bunch of nodes, 7 would get ridiculous because the message would just bounce around and congest everything up. So the powers that be, if you're in a city situation, 3 would be your max. Now, your node doesn't store any messages, it rebroadcasts them. It's literally just the moment you send it is the only time it gets transmitted among that mesh. And then it just, boop, evaporates. As far as I know. Mesh core is just a different firmware for the same thing. Works slightly different, but if you're on mesh core and I'm not, we're not talking. There is a guy at the club, Greg, and we consider him to be Mr. Meshtastic. He has both, and he's been trying to figure out mesh core and to see if mesh core's a thing yet. And he's working both.
Well, one thing I might add, C2PET here. MeshCore is advertising now that they can send voice over their network now.
Good morning, Ross. Did you say that MeshCore is saying that you can send voice over their network?
That's correct. It must do a packet. It's not like a two-way radio, but if you want, it's kind of like a voicemail, so to speak. They send it to them, and then you open it up, and then it'll play the voice back, whatever you sent. So that's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, that is interesting. That would add a whole new dimension to it.
So it sounds like we can think of it as like a real-time text messaging network. And just like here, when we're talking, if I talk at Jeff, and Jeff is not here to hear me, he's not going to hear it. And it's just lost and gone forever. So if you're actively on the mesh network at the time, it definitely has some really good value. And thinking about the MCOM scenario, and you have a network in your town, you can all stay connected and converse or send messages in real time, which is really cool. So I can definitely see the value of it if it is coordinated. And maybe that's the big part that, maybe in some other towns where there's a lot of networks, and I guess that's what Jeff is trying to build here, right, Jeff? We're trying to get more nodes up in the air so that more people can be connected in all time.
Yes, like now I'm looking for a spot to put my 1 watt that I have here in my front seat. Because the more you have, the better, and the more there are, the more robust. Within a single node, there's 8 channels you can have. The first is the primary, is the open one. It's called long fast. Long range, fast communication, and then there's a whole bunch of offsets. You can change slow. It all depends on how much data you're going and how close your network is. So I have a couple of different channels set up to where one is, and they're all encrypted, but you need a key to unlock it.
Yeah, so that can give you some, separation. Things start getting active. And then going back to the MCOM, emergency communications aspect of it, if we started storing messages, you wouldn't want storage on every device. That would add cost. And then if you had a main location storing, you know, a server, if you will, now you become dependent on that for the system to work properly. So keeping it simple might actually be the best way. Just like, you know, with the phone system, as it grows, you become more and more dependent on it. Your phone, your internet, and when all that goes down, that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, maybe through these conversations I can be convinced that what I desire is a full duplication of the already existing networks, but maybe that's really not necessary. KCPCB. And it's 6:45. I'll listen for a second, but then I got to pop out. 73s, good morning, guys.
Yeah, I think having a server that holds messages until you're able to retrieve them, similar to like your cell phone, you're just kind of duplicating the service. So I think it is, like you said, the radio. Once it's out there, if the person doesn't receive it, it's just gone. But in an emergency situation, if everyone, the people that are on that network know how to use it, then it becomes valuable. And I see the advantage in that. So, Travis, you have a great day. 73s, we will talk to you tomorrow. This is KE2GDQ.
Oh, good morning, Brad. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Loss. I'm doing pretty good. It's Wednesday, I'm feeling good. So, how about you?
Well, there's 100 other things I'd rather be doing than working. I can't make money doing those things.
I hear you, Ross. I can appreciate what you're doing, and you know, and how I felt when I was working too. There'd be 100 things I'd want to do that were more fun than working, but something had to pay the bills. So, do you have a Meshtastic node?
I do. I am currently working on it now. I am wanting to get a better antenna. Now, the one coming with it is not very good. I have found it to be very short range with that antenna, but there's people claiming you gotta ditch that little tiny sub antenna. You gotta get actually a base station style antenna, which is, it's not very big. And it's not even that expensive, so it's fun stuff. It says your performance of the mesh will improve drastically if you get that antenna, get it up in the air. And that's what I'm trying to do right now.
So are you going to mount your Meshtastic node to your tower to get some height?
Yep, I was looking to mount it just below my Noda antenna, the Noda radio antenna. So it'll be up there pretty high.
That would be up there pretty high, because when I was talking with Jeff last night, he said height is might, and where I could probably put one on my house would be on my chimney, because it wouldn't be very big, it wouldn't be very noticeable, but that'd be the highest I could go right now. So I'm thinking about it. Haven't pulled the trigger yet. I gotta dig into this a little bit more.
I was looking more at that aspect as for my daughter. You can get actually BlackBerry looking devices, and for us to text message her would be, you know, you wouldn't need a cell phone or anything. Exactly, send her a text and. If me and Megan are home, we could send, you know, if she has something important to tell us or something I could send to her, we could use, as long as we're all within range of it, should work.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about for my daughter, even though, she has cell phones and all that, that if something did happen where the cell phones all went down, that she and I could still communicate, even though she lives in Orchard Park. But I don't know how many nodes are between my house and Orchard Park that would be able to make that hop, or that number of hops, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you would have to bring up the, there's a map. You should go to much test, but there's, it's like All-Star. There should be a map that can show up and shows you nodes that are between your daughter's house and your house. Shouldn't be too bad. As far as I know, I think there's only four. And there's a group of them in Buffalo. And going out to Orchard Park, I didn't look down that far, but, yeah, I don't know. You have to look. I don't know. Maybe there's a couple new ones that might have popped up. I think there's one in Clarence. And then also, and then Jeff does show up on there.
Yeah, I was looking at a map yesterday. I can't remember what area it was. I don't know if I looked down in Orchard Park or not. Or maybe it was, yeah. Anyways, I was looking at a map, so yeah, I know I can do that. I know that W2SO has a node on their antenna, so I know that I could get to that node. That should be pretty easy to do. Yeah, just kind of planning it out, trying to think of what advantages it does to buy it, to spend it. I see your advantage is definitely there.
Yeah, Jeff, he's heavily into it, and notice he doesn't have any of the stock antennas on his. He has the ones with the higher gain, which he says makes a big difference. So if I go forward with this, I would have to really get some hardware, upgrade all of my antennas, because I only have the, they're only like 2 inches. They're not even that big of an antenna. Because those are drastically, I guess, reduced the performance of them.
Oh, that makes sense. It's kind of like the stubby little antennas that came with my Bofang. They're fine for picking up broadcast FM, but they don't pick up much of the UHF or the VHF frequencies unless they're really close. So I get it. Makes sense.
Yeah, the other interesting thing, which I thought was cool, is that mesh. I don't know if MeshTastic's going to try to do it, but the Mesh Core group, they're really taking off. Like I said, they could do voice, which I thought was interesting. And he has if you go on their website, they actually have an audio sample of it. And it surprisingly sounds pretty good. It doesn't really have that digital garbled voice that usually comes with like something like with DMR.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out because I was watching some YouTube videos yesterday on MeshTastic, and naturally MeshCore came up too. And so there was a couple videos on the advantages and disadvantages of both. It just got me confused a little bit, but I think I've got it straight now. So I'll have to look into that audio on the MeshCore. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I've seen one of those videos too. I looked it up, and they're saying MeshCore has better range. I don't know how that's possible. It's the same frequency they're using, the same hardware. It's just a different operating system. So, trying to figure that one out, if the Mesh Core really can get a longer range with the same hardware. That doesn't make sense to me, but maybe they do some trickery with something there.
Yeah, that's what I heard on one of the videos, that the Mesh Core had more distance. you're dealing basically with the same frequencies, so how do you get more distance without more power, right?
Yeah, correct. That's what I'm trying to figure that out as well. Like I said, same hardware, same frequency. Shouldn't really matter. Yeah, state plows are out big time. Is it supposed to get colder or something? It's raining here. I just got to work. But the state plows, they're out something like crazy. So I don't know if the temperature's supposed to drop later.
Not that I was aware of. I thought it was going to be, well, I guess maybe it is going to be about freezing for right now, but it's going up really pretty soon to in the 40s and sunny, last I saw it, so that's weird.
Yep, that's weird. Well, Brad, I got to say 73T again. I got to get going in there. Well, KD2GDQ is KD2PET. I'll take it. is Wednesday. Tomorrow's my Thursday. I will talk to you on Friday. 73.
73 is KC2PET. Have a great day. Talk to you on Friday. This is KE2GEQ, and we're clear of the channel.